Right, do grab a seat. In a minute, we'll be turning to the Bible together. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, if you pop up a hand, someone will bring one to you. We will in due course be in Luke 24, which is on page 1061 of the Bible. So Luke 24, page 1061. We won't read it quite yet, but we will in a minute. So do pop a finger in that or just have that open in front of you. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to start thinking together about the Easter message. Father God, thank you so much for this day, for the sun, for the joy of time thinking about the message of Easter. Thank you for that first Easter message, and please today would all of us, no matter how many times we've heard this story before, would each one of us see something fresh and be amazed at what you have done. Amen. As we start, I want you to think with me about superheroes. Superheroes often live in disguise, don't they? So I don't know if any of you have seen The Incredibles. That's Mr. Incredible when he's doing superhero stuff, but what does he look like most of the time? He looks like that. A man at a desk doing an office job. Superheroes spend their time in disguise so they're not spotted. It's true with Mr. Incredible, it's true with Superman. There he is as Superman, and there he is as a reporter. Superheroes live in disguise. They're hidden. We, as those who are watching, we know who they are. But the people around them have no idea. And today, we're going to see something similar. We're going to see a thing that happened 2,000 years ago where a hidden hero is with some people and they have no idea who he is. But we know. We get told. We're going to meet two of Jesus' friends. They're out on a walk. They're feeling quite sad. They're feeling quite confused. And then they're joined by someone else. They don't realize who it is, but we're told. Listen to what happens. Annie's going to come and read Luke 24, starting at verse 13.
Luke 24, verse 13 to 24. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus."
Great. Did you see it? Did you see what happens? Did you hear what happens? Jesus' two friends walking, and a hidden hero appears alongside them. Jesus turns up. We know that it was Jesus, but they didn't know. It's not that they'd forgotten what he looked like. They'd seen him a couple of days before. They knew what he looked like. They hadn't suddenly gone blind. No. They were, we're told, in verse 16, kept from recognizing him. He was hidden from them, so they couldn't see who he was. And because they didn't know who they were talking to, they just started talking and they told him what they were feeling, what they were thinking. As they told him how they feel, they said they were sad. In verse 21, they say to him, "We'd hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." Their hopes were that this Jesus, this one, was the one that they had been waiting for. They thought he was the one who was going to come and save people. He was the one that had been promised. That's what they'd hoped. They knew that things weren't as they should be. They knew that things were meant to be better than this. They knew they should have hope for the future, and they thought Jesus was the one that was going to bring it. But they were sad because he was sentenced to death and crucified. Jesus died. And so they put all their hopes in him, but he's not alive anymore. He can't be the one they'd hoped for after all. And so, they're sad. But they're also confused because there was so much that made it look like Jesus really was the one. There were so many pieces that they were putting together that made them think, this is the one we had hoped for. First off, there was all the amazing things that Jesus did. Just think about some of those amazing things. You'll know some of the stories, I guess. Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus calmed the storm. Jesus walked on water. Jesus fed 5,000 people with hardly any food. Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead. Jesus did all kinds of amazing things. And it wasn't just that he did amazing things. Jesus said amazing things too. He said all kinds of things that are really quite surprising. He made some amazing claims about himself. He made some amazing claims about things that would happen one day. Jesus really was amazing. He was a man filled with power. And so the first piece they had was, here is one who was strong. He was powerful. He was able to do amazing things. But here's where it started to get confusing. He seems like the hero. He claims to be the hero, but he dies. He ends up on a cross. He ends up dying. That's not part of what a hero normally does. And yet, they saw it with their own eyes. He really died. They saw him hanging there. They saw him taken down from there. He really died. And so they thought that was the end of the story, but they've had a pretty confusing morning. Because earlier that morning, some women that they knew, they went to the tomb, and they found it empty, and then they came back claiming that some angels had told them that Jesus was risen from the dead. And then some of their other friends, they also went to the tomb, and they also found it empty, but they didn't see any angels, and they didn't see anyone risen from the dead. And so they're really confused because they've got these different pieces. They've got this person who looked like he was the hero. They've got someone who died. And now they've got an empty cross, an empty tomb. And they can't quite put these pieces together. There is no way of putting these pieces together so they fit neatly. They can't work it out. They're confused. And here's the thing. They're confused because they're missing a piece. If you've still got a Bible open, look down. Let me read some words. Jesus speaks. He says, verse 25, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explains to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. Did you spot it? Did you spot what they hadn't got? What were they missing? They were missing the understanding that comes from the prophets. They didn't see that all the scriptures had been talking about this all the time. They'd been talking about Jesus suffering and Jesus going to glory. They talked about him dying and they talked about him coming back to life. Let's recap where we've got to. You had these two people walking along the road. They didn't see who Jesus was. They didn't understand what was going on, and they didn't believe what the prophets had told them. But then Jesus speaks to them. They don't realize it's Jesus yet. But he speaks to them and he says, did not the Messiah, God's promised king, have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Is this not what it's always been about? Let me show you an example of that. Here are some famous words from Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah wrote 700 years before Jesus, and he wrote about one man. And he wrote, this man bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Do you see what those words are saying? They are saying hundreds of years before Jesus that the Messiah, God's promised king, would have to suffer. He would have to experience punishment. He would be pierced. That is, something would be hammered through his body. He would be wounded. And all those things would happen so that other people, we, can be healed. So that we can have peace. That was the promise. And then that later in that passage, it goes on and it says this, words that will come up. Though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, so though Jesus dies, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days. That means he'll keep living. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Hundreds of years before Jesus, it was promised that someone would come, someone amazing would come, that he would do amazing things. He would then be put to death, and he would then come back to life. That was always the promise. And it's verses like this that help us solve our puzzle, because there's a missing piece. And the missing piece is the scriptures. It's the Bible. It helps us to fit it all together. The puzzle finally fits together. It makes sense. It is by having these promises that all these things make sense. It is what enables us to understand what is going on. Jesus is truly powerful. He did all these amazing miracles just like it was promised. But it was also promised that he would use his power to beat death. And he would do it by dying. His death shouldn't have been a surprise. It was always part of the plan. But it wasn't the end of the plan, because it was always the plan that he would rise back from the dead, just like the angels said. If you were there on that first Easter Sunday and you'd been by the tomb, you would have seen Jesus walk out. And if you'd known the promises of the prophets, that shouldn't have been entirely surprising. I mean, on one level, however well you knew the promises, it would have been surprising, because you'd never seen anything like that. But on another level, it shouldn't have surprised them. It shouldn't surprise us, because it was always the promise. It's how these things fit together. See, Jesus says that if we're going to understand the Easter story, we need to let God explain it to us. That is why this book that we've just read some words from is so important. It's really interesting, isn't it? This is Jesus walking with them. And in verse 25, he doesn't say, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all the things I told you. Even though earlier in Luke's gospel, he has said to them, he's going to die and rise again. They should know that from Jesus' words. Jesus doesn't say, guys, you're struggling to understand, let me explain it to you. No, he says, let this book explain it to you. We need God's words to explain to all of us. If we want to make sense of the Easter weekend, if we want to make sense of life, we need this book to explain it to us. And that's why we orientate so much of what we do around this book. Some of you might be visiting us today. Let me explain what we normally do here. It's pretty similar to today, really. We get this book open. This book, we believe, is God's words to us, explaining to us his plan for the world. His plan, that means we can be saved. We can be with him forever. We can have a relationship with the God who made us. We believe it's this book where we find the answers to those things. If you struggle to understand how life makes sense, if life feels disorientating and confusing sometimes, it is this book that helps to piece some of that together. All of us will know people who look at this book and think, how can this possibly be relevant? Maybe that's you. But Jesus says this book is the way to understand life. Because it's the way to understand the Easter weekend, and understanding that first Easter weekend is the key to understanding all of life. What we want to do as a church is provide lots of different avenues for you to find out more about what this book says. If you join us on Sundays, both kids and adults will have opportunities to look at these words, to think together in age-appropriate ways about what they mean and how they can help us understand life. We want to give opportunities for that to happen in smaller groups, in personal discussions. That's why we're running a Christianity Explored course. Maybe that's something that you think would be really suitable for you. Maybe you've got questions about this Christianity thing. Maybe those are questions that have been brewing, even though you've been going to church for years, or you'd say you've been a Christian for years, but it just doesn't quite seem to be piecing together. That'd be a great place to come and chat those things through. Maybe you're new to Christian things. That'd be a great place to come and ask your questions. Maybe you're committed to following Jesus. It'd be a great place to bring your friends to come and ask their questions. Because we'll get this book open. And this book is the missing piece that enables the puzzle of life to make sense. These two friends of Jesus needed someone to explain. And they had someone to explain. And that person was Jesus. Let's see what difference that makes. Calvin's going to come and read the next section of Luke 24.
I'll be reading Luke 24 from verse 28 to 35. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. He disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Did you see how everything changed for those two people? Because Jesus spoke to them, because he explained to them from the scriptures everything concerning himself. They were sad before. They were confused before. They didn't recognize Jesus before. But now they've recognized Jesus. They've believed Jesus. They've understood that he rose from the dead. And they are happy. They are filled with joy. verse 32, they speak of their hearts burning within them. That's not indigestion. That is, they are full of joy. I don't know if you know that feeling where something so great is happening, you kind of feel it physically within you. That's what they felt like when Jesus explained it to them. And what do they do with that? They run off and they tell others. They tell others because they have come to see who Jesus truly is. Here is the God-man. Here is God come to earth, taking on flesh. Here is the king that God had promised. They start to understand God's big story. They start to understand what it's all about. They start to understand it's about the king who dies and rises back to life. And he does all of that to save us. What do they do next? They keep following Jesus. What do we do next? We either start or keep following Jesus. And we get the answers to our questions from the same place they got the answers to their questions. Remember, Jesus pointed to these words. Jesus pointed to this book. We can do the same. I guess all of us in life at different times feel a bit like those two walking on that road. Sad, confused, just bewildered by life and not understanding what's going on. And we, in moments like that, can bring our sadness and our questions to this book. And this book will give us the answers that we need. We're going to think about a little example of that. We're going to think about an eight-year-old boy called Timmy. But Timmy will function for all of us as a bit of an example of what to do. I want you to imagine Timmy. Some of the adults in Timmy's life follow Jesus, but a number of them don't. Maybe his parents do, but his grandparents don't, or his grandparents do, but his parents don't, or all his family do, but his teachers don't, or whatever it is. And that's just quite confusing for Timmy. He struggles to understand what to do with that. You see, some days he thinks Jesus really is God. He really wants to follow him. But other days he feels quite stupid for following Jesus. And some of the adults in his life tell him he's quite stupid for following Jesus. Timmy has so many questions. He has questions about why he's here and what's the point of life and what am I meant to do? And he doesn't really know what to do with his questions. In some ways, Timmy's a bit similar to those two people out on that walk on that first Easter Sunday morning, isn't he? They were confused. They didn't know what to think. Timmy's confused a lot of the time. He doesn't really know what to think. Jesus showed those disciples what to think. He showed them what was true by pointing to the Bible. And so, Timmy can do the very same thing. He can look to the Bible. Those adults in his life that follow Jesus, he can ask them, why do you believe these things and what did they say? Can you explain that to me? I want to understand. They can help him to work through this puzzle. This puzzle of this amazing man who really did walk this earth. He's read about Jesus. He knows about Jesus. He knows Jesus is special. But he also knows that Jesus died. And he also knows an awful lot of people claim he rose from the dead. And Timmy can start piecing those things together as he looks to the words that Jesus has given us. He sees that starts to make sense of everything. It starts to promise us some amazing things. Those words back in Isaiah 53, we can have peace. Peace is something that Timmy wants. Peace is something that all of us want. It can give us hope. All of us need hope, don't we? With no hope, you don't get out of bed in the morning. What gets you out of bed in the morning, I guess, is the hope of something positive or a parent making you get up. We need hope. We need hope that something good will come to pass. And Jesus says that true hope is found in him. Because in him, we can know sins forgiven. In him, we can know a Saviour who walks alongside us. In him, we can know that there is a promise that we can spend forever with God. Those are hope-filled promises. Promises that Timmy wants to believe, and bit by bit, as he starts to read this book, it all comes together for him. But he spends the rest of his life following Jesus, and every now and then, the puzzle seems to break apart a bit, and he needs to come back and understand more and more. Timmy needs this book. We all need this book to help us to understand, to help us to know how to live. Because this book tells us about Jesus. Look back down if you've still got Luke 24 open at verse 27. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, that's a way of talking about the Old Testament, Jesus explains to them what was in all the scriptures concerning himself. This book is special. This book answers our questions because this book speaks about Jesus. He is special. He is the one who answers our questions. Kids, you might have adults in your life who don't believe these things. Adults, we will all know people who don't believe these things. What do we do with that? What do we do when that confuses us? We come back to this book because in this book, Jesus speaks to us. And he tells us what is really true. And the promise of Easter is what we find there is good news. Good news that answers our questions. Good news that helps us know how to live. Good news that fills our hearts with hope because it is news of Jesus dying and rising again to save us, to give us new life. There is hope to be found. It's to be found in these words because these words speak of Jesus, the one who on that first Easter morning rose from the dead. Let me lead us in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the Easter story. And thank you that it is more than a story. Thank you that it is true. Thank you that it is the greatest thing that has ever happened in this world. Thank you that that tomb really was empty. And so there really is hope. There really is wonderful news. There really is a future that is amazing. And a future that each of us can have because Jesus offers it to us. We thank you for what he did that first Easter weekend. Please help us to believe these things. Thank you that people across this whole world do believe these things. And we thank you that they are joined with us as part of your worldwide family. And so today we pray for them. We pray for them to keep trusting in Jesus, to keep following Jesus. And this day, this Easter day, to celebrate and to rejoice that Jesus is risen. We pray particularly for those Christians for whom life is really hard, particularly because they're following Jesus and other people are persecuting them for it. Please help them to keep trusting him and keep their hope in him. We pray that this Easter, many across this world will find hope. That they will come to see that Jesus is the one who is risen from the dead, and in him there is hope. In him there is life. Particularly for those for whom life feels really hopeless and sad and dark and confusing. Please would Jesus bring light to them this Easter. And please help us who follow Jesus to live as people with this hope. As we head into our weeks, whatever they will bring, both joys and challenges, both things we're looking forward to and things we're not, back to work, back to school, back to normality, please help us to live with hope. Please would we remember all Jesus has done for us And would that cause our hearts to sing with joy, our hearts to burn within us, just like they did in the hearts of those two people that first Easter morning. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Easter gives us a hope for the future, a hope for this life, but more than that, a hope of the life to come. And it's that we'll sing of in our final song.